And in the studio, I've got our councillor, Lisa Thompson, for a non-election interview.
Yay! Kia ora, morena. Hi, Aaron.
But.
But. There's always the but.
How's it been?
It's just mahi as usual, to be honest. You know, we had a fantastic meet the candidates on Sunday. Some thought it was too long. Others thought it was really great. But I thought
The candidates thought it was too short because they're like, I have 30 seconds. What?
I know. Sometimes we can hold the floor. But, you know, when you've got all 20 candidates in the room, which is a fantastic turnout, there's only so much that one can do. And I thought it was a fabulous collaboration between Tauticura, the Raglan Business Chamber, and Raglan Naturally. So Raglan always seems to do things really well.
Yeah, and the candidates I've spoken to, like I talked to Tilly Turner the next day, and she said, yeah, it was a good turnout. I think she thought it was the best she'd seen. And she's one of those candidates they're having to traipse all around the district to go to. You're kind of lucky, you just have to be here. But
that's exactly right. Yeah. So for the other candidates, particularly the mayoral candidates and the Māori ward candidates, they do have big areas to cover. And it's quite exhausting, I can imagine, that the mahi that they have to put into, you know, anticipating what might be asked, what the crowd will be asking, how it's going to be facilitated. And that's why I thought that the one on Sunday with Kawe doing the emceeing was so well done, because it was respectful, and there were the quick fire rounds and no one person could hold the stage. So they changed it up a bit to make it...
I'm interested in the new Māori seat. The candidates, that they look like they've got three really good candidates to choose from there. That's quite a tough choice.
It's quite a tough choice, that's right. And isn't that fantastic for this ward, for our area, to have three very different candidates that have very different skills. So, and it was lovely to meet them all together on Sunday and be able to welcome them here to Whaingaroa.
Because they will have the responsibility of being on our community board, in the same way that you are as councillor. But they'll be on several, maybe a few others as well.
They'll be on. They'll also be on a committee, you know, community committees like Tamehere.
Because they have there's community boards and community committees that don't
exactly
have quite
right.
the same. Well, neither of them have a lot of power. Anyway,
that's another thing. But they will be, you know, they will be there. So it's important that they have a strong relationship with the ward councillors, you know, in the areas that they'll be participating in. Because even though they, you know, like me, I am elected to represent the Whaingaroa Raglan ward at council, but I also have to be considered that when you're in that governance role, that you're actually doing the best for the many across the district, you know, whilst advocating for your own community. And they will be in the same position as well. So they won't just be advocating on behalf of Māori, even though they're on a Māori ward. The decisions that they'll be involved in are exactly the same decision-making
that all
councillors are.
Yeah, so, they've all said that's not purely
great.
To represent Māori.
Yeah.
Hey, one thing that the mayoral candidates have talked about is they all seem – saying positive things about giving more powers, delegating more powers to the community board. And I know they get to do delegations at the start of the term, but do they still need to have the backing of the full council when they do things like that? How does that...
Yes, they would. And I think, you know, it's not as simple
so
as...
So they make a call and then they bring it to council?
Well,
is that how it works?
What we'd have to do actually before jumping the gun is actually working with the community boards and what they would like to see in terms of what that extra delegations would be. Because, and I think that both Dennis and Gabriel have said this, it's about the capacity as well. So we could delegate more authority, which I'm 150% behind, but it's also about resourcing and enabling that participation.
And that's a budget issue.
Yeah, you know, it's not only a budget, it's a resourcing issue. So it's having council staff supporting there. It is also a budget issue, because I look at the amount of work that both Gabriel Parson and Dennis Amor have done over the last term, and Gabriel over the last two terms. It's a phenomenal amount of work. And so you have to set aside that time to be able to contribute to, for example, the Wharf Project, the Innovating Streets, you know, into consultation processes at council. So I think it needs to be really well thought out in how that and how council can support and enable that to happen. Because I'm really mindful of putting more work onto community boards if they're unable to fulfill those expectations. So,
because you get paid as a councillor, you get paid, in my mind, it's supposed to be like for half a week, half a week's work, whereas the community board get paid for...
They get paid next to nothing, really, when you think about...
By the time you take out the time of actually being at the meetings, there's not a lot.
It's not a lot, and particularly, you know, and it's not. Don't get me wrong, it's not about being paid for that, but it is. But it's recognising the amount of work and the level of work that we actually want done, because really, for councillors, and I suppose in some ways for community board members, you can participate in as much as you want or as little as you like. For example, for a councillor, it could be that you only turn up to council meetings, whether it's policy and regulatory or...
Is there anyone who does that?
No.
I'm not asking for names. happen sometimes.
Sometimes I think it probably does. So it's that appetite for how much you want to put into the roles. And, you know, with many community board members... some are retired, some work, many have families and other commitments within their own communities. So it's that balancing act. So moving forward, I think we really need to think about how we can support our community boards to be super effective and actually have the time and energy to put to the work of their communities.
Yeah, I would think if you had a full-time job and kids at home, it would be near on impossible.
Well, it's really tricky. Even, you know, I consider being councillor as my full-time job. So that's my job. So
I've just said they seem to pay for half a 20-hour week.
The challenge in local government is that finding people to stand in local government, if you've got a family or you've got a mortgage, this isn't a career path that makes you lots of money.
I know, and you could be out in 3 years as well.
So it's tricky. But anyway, I'm digressing, but, devolving more power to the community boards would be fantastic. But we need to resource it and resource it well and think about what that looks like. And each community board has different capacities, and I think our community board is really successful, and we've achieved a lot over the last 7.5 years. You know, because I was on the community board for a term and a half before becoming councillor for the last 2 terms. Yeah. And so in that time, I think we've really progressed relationships together as a board and with council staff and councillors as well. And that actually takes a concerted effort around relationship building and building trust.
Yeah, yeah. And the time issue relates also, or the capacity issue relates also to... At the moment, it doesn't look like there's a queue of people wanting to be the chair of the community board, because for some it's too time consuming. For others, they want to get on with doing actual things and not the managing of the board. How do you think that'll? I guess we can't do predictions, can we? But
we can't do predictions, and you know we've got really experienced board members. You know, Dennis has been the deputy chair for the last term. Tony Houston, he's going for his third term on the community board and brings in a phenomenal amount of skills. And he also sits on the Raglan Naturally Governance Board, and also on the Hall Committee.
Yep.
So they bring a lot of skills to the work of the board. And I guess moving forward, whoever's on the board will need to really think about what time commitment and skills that they can give to the work of the board, so it doesn't just fall to the chair or to the deputy chair or the councillor to take notes and things like that. So we're probably really lucky that we've been working so well together, and that we can support Gabriel's work as the chair and Dennis as the deputy chair. So it's each one of us in our roles on the community board need to step up and put some time into the work of the board so it just doesn't fall to one or two or three of the board members.
Yeah, that's the way to make it work.
It is, and it actually builds capacity and it upskills members of the board over time as well, you know, given that opportunity to, whether it's contributing to consultation or if it's chairing community hui outside of just the community board huis as well. So there's lots of opportunities, and I think we also need to be mindful and council that we are providing opportunities for a level of professional development for our community board members as well. You know, right. In terms of how do we run a good meeting? What are the standing orders? What is the process? So we're actually providing our community board members with good governance skills opportunities as well. Mm. Because what we'd like to think, hey, is that we're building that succession planning for whoever will stand as councillor and come in with a level of skills and understanding about if you were going to progress from the community board and think, oh, actually I see a pathway to be the councillor. So providing those opportunities for new learnings and upskilling.
Mm. Okay, so the community board meeting was a couple of weeks ago now. It's all a blur for me at the moment.
Yeah, it was at the beginning of September.
Okay, so we haven't actually talked about that with you. There were the people down in Lorenzen Bay who don't want the walkway changed. Has there been, do you have any
update on that? No,
yeah,
I don't.
Yeah, anything on that?
No, I don't. I actually wasn't in the open forum. I came, the public forum, I actually came in about 2:05.
Okay, all right.
From council, come in late, so I missed most of the corridor from there, actually. But we did have our stakeholder hui for the reserves on Tuesday the 13th, I think it was, of September. So that was a good turnout at the surf club. And so Rebecca Law, who's one of our reserves planning staff, she was there and gave an overview. So too did Noel Barber on the work that's being done on Wainui, Whale Bay, Ngarenui, and Papahua, the works that have been undertaken and works that are coming up. And then, of course, there were a number of questions from a number of organisations, including the fishing club, the horse community, the soccer club as well.
And the surf schools,
Mountain
Club.
Bike Park, the Point Board Riders. So it was, Harbour Care. And in fact, I just finished the minutes yesterday.
You just finished the minutes, all right. There was a lot, a lot to take down.
There was a lot to take down, and it's how much do you put down? So yeah, that,
I think I took notes.
Well, that's good if you took notes. If you've got any that you can send
to me,
just in case.
They won't be comprehensive. They're just on my phone. So should I check your minutes and see if they... No, I don't, because I don't know if I can rely on mine too much. They're just useful for asking questions in interviews, but that's about it. Yeah. One of the things that did come up there, and Dennis mentioned this, that the Manu Bay breakwall work that was... It had been timelined after a meeting, and the meeting seemed to be quite successful with all the stakeholders. Something was falling behind a little bit, and the community board was going to send a please explain letter.
Yep, and so that was a scope of works that Trevor Runga was given to undertake before our next hui between Tonkin Taylor and I've got a mind blank, but that scope of work hasn't been undertaken yet. So
that's the consultants anyway.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. For the next hui, which we were hoping to have in October. So Dennis has sent through some correspondence to urge that needs to be done sooner rather than later.
I was interested to see that there was was described as some scoping being done, a scoping phase for a playground at Greenslade Road, or maybe by that walkway. I'm not quite sure exactly
it's
where it's going
to be. It's by the walkway. So if you were to go on the walkway between Greenslade Road and Lorenzen Bay, basically smack dab in the middle when you go down the dip to the left or to your right, depending on which side you're coming from, there's an open paddock area. So looking at that area there, in fact, I spoke to one of our staff yesterday about that, and you know, really encouraging them to work with the community there, including Gabriel and Bexy Ivers, because there's a desire, you know, from the community in that area for a little skate ramp or something like that. So yeah. I think that's exciting. So watch the space.
So when council says something's in a scoping phase, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen, or does it mean?
Oh no, there's definitely. There will be.
So they've got a budget. They're just figuring out what they can do.
Yep, and okay. There will definitely be a playground there, but you know, a modest one. So working with the community there and what can be achieved. So I think that will be exciting for them. If you haven't been on that walkway, I really encourage you to go down and have a look. I mean our community, because it's a fantastic addition to the connectivity in Raglan and all of the planting that's been undertaken as well.
The community,
and it's beautiful, that wetland there that, you know, a number of the community members have been involved in taking care of it. It's a lovely little spot.
Yeah, and the nearest playground's actually a long way away, like Wallace Street, I think.
Yeah, it would be Wallace Street, actually, the nearest playground.
Another thing that there was, we got a scoping phase for making a service lane wider at Whale Bay. There's a look at, making the service lane wider at Whale Bay, is that just the walkway between the houses at the end of the...
That was my understanding, that's right, and looking at those options.
How can they make that wider? There's...
I'm not property sure boundaries. Because I wrote that in the notes and I didn't actually, I didn't actually know what that meant. So I'll need to get clarification on that. So I need to see a plan.
Yeah. And also talk at Manu Bay about the very original plan that the community had didn't have parking right up close to the water. It had more green space.
Yeah.
So there's talk about rearranging
that. Rearranging that.
How serious is that? Is that?
Well,
I don't have the word scoping phase next to that.
No, it wasn't a scoping phase, but looking at the better use of that area and maybe returning to the original plans for Manu Bay. So I'd need to confirm with Noel if that's actually on the cards, because it was Noel that actually discussed that. So I'll need to follow up with, a timeline, and will that be happening?
Because that could be, it's a bit of money required to do that.
Yeah, and then there was, Noel talked about the drainage issues down there.
Oh,
and
where of the boat parking happens.
Yeah, and then it was talked about not necessarily putting in asphalt, but some metal in that area to stop it from getting boggy as well.
Yeah.
And that came from the fishing club.
Yeah, we have lots of people coming fishing in our community.
Yep, and then of course there was talk about the scoping phase at Papahua because of the potholes that are down there on the road in the lower areas, so seeing how we can address that. But that's been an ongoing challenge for that area anyway, hasn't it, Aaron? And then
is that just on the road? Because there's all the new paving, but then straight after that, I guess, in the old part of the road.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about, yeah. Yep.
And of course there was discussion around overflow car parking. At Papahua, the suggestion to use one soccer field for boat parking and then the other soccer field for the overflow car parking. So I'm not sure how that will progress, but it was good to hear the views and thoughts on that.
Noel Barber did say he had concerns about lots of driving around on the fields,
which is legitimate.
We think that's legitimate.
Managing that, because you know what we have seen in the past is people doing wheelies when both of them are open, things like that. But if we're going to get good boat parking in those areas, we really need to mark it out so then people know where to park. Would be really helpful.
there were so many things talked about. I guess that for the Wainui Reserve in particular, there's plenty of potential for things to happen up there. I don't think there's a clear plan. I guess there's a list of things that different groups have suggested would be good. Is this something that is there someone who wants to take the bull by the horns with this one and develop seriously up there, or?
Excuse me.
You want a drink of water? I haven't got any.
No, it's okay. I think Rebecca Law is very keen on...
The staff member in charge of this, yeah.
And she did mention that, about the reserves management plan wasn't a really strategic document in terms of looking at long-term in the future. It really only looked at 10 years. And so what would a long-term picture of the reserve look like, and what are the opportunities there? And, you know, there was talk about having an area for proper parking for the horse community as well. The mountain bike park and the extension of the tracks through the reserve via cattle stop type.
Oh, yeah, little mini cattle stops so that bikes can get through.
Bikes and walkers can get through. And so there were some challenges raised by Noel. But I'm sure with good planning we can come up with, a network of tracks and trails, including bridle paths for horse users, walkers, and for bike riders as well to use that area, whilst also having the opportunity for maybe the solar farm. So looking at the use of that area, because it was brought up by Rebecca that, currently having cattle grazing up there is a good way of managing the farm. But of course we can look at different ways of doing that a lot better moving into the future, and what are those opportunities for the community. And that should be something that the community board be actively involved in the next term as a priority project, I would imagine. But of course that will be determined by the incoming community board and the new triennium.
And something that was also mentioned was that when the plan for the reserves came out, it coincided with the long-term plan, which is the council's financial plan. So there wasn't time to get any of the ideas from the reserve management plan into the long-term plan. So that's
coming up in 2024.
There's talk about putting things in at that point
in
time.
And it's reigniting the 2016 trail strategy. And that's there. We've got a much more connected look across the district on our trails strategy. And of course Rebecca mentioned our wider reserves management plan that sort of is the umbrella management plan for all of our reserves across the district.
So is that up for review at the
It is. The I'll have to check the dates.
Yes, I heard something about that. Yeah, I don't know the dates.
Pre-engagement to the consultation. So and I believe the Mountain Bike Club has already put in some work into that. So coming up, we'll just have to have working groups on our reserves and how, particularly with Wainui, how we can manage that and what that looks like in a bigger picture future scoping.
We're lucky to have that large piece of land there that's still with the community, and it survived the 80s and 90s mania for selling off things.
It's a fantastic.
I think some of the older people in our community were responsible for keeping that in community ownership. So,
I know it's fantastic, isn't it?
Big ups to them.
It's sort of like it's the jewel in the crown, in a way, for a community facility amongst other things like Manu Bay, and also Papahua. Which, we are very lucky in Whangaroa to have such fabulous community spaces.
Yeah. Now, there's always. If you're trying to pay attention to what's happening at council, there's always strategies and plans and reviews and this and that. We've just had the harbour strategy come out.
The Whangaroa Harbour Strategy, which was actually, that was from the work of the Wharf Project, was the Pūtea set aside to have a look at that. So that tried to look at the connectivity and the activities around the harbour with a view of future and what that might look like. So I really encourage people to go and have a look at that document if you have an appetite for that.
We were wondering, because this is something John Lawson saw was in one of the subcommittees, there appeared to be items that might have come from the harbour strategy were going in, like doing work on ramps and things, like the ramp that's down at the bottom of the area school, which no one knows about because we never go down there but the kids know exists. I guess I'm asking, is stuff from the harbour strategy gone into planning going to happen phase, or was it just coincidence?
I don't know what you mean.
What committee was it? Must be the finance committee, finance and strategy committee, or maybe it was the infrastructure. I never know the committees, Lisa. they're just these titles. But there was a list of things that were like little ramps around the harbour that some money was being put in to upgrade and fix up and things like that. Yeah, without being able to show you. I'm sorry, vague about it.
I'm sorry. Without seeing it, I'm not quite sure what you're talking about.
Okay, all right. What's the most important thing about the harbour strategy?
Just a future look at what activities we have in and around our harbour and how people use it.
Yeah.
And that it was actually a strategy that has been created for Raglan by Raglan and led by the community board, which I think is, you know, pretty special in terms of developing that. And I think I really encourage people to read that document.
Okay, all right. What else have we got? There's so many things that have
been
happening. Local bus service. How about that?
Actually, I just got the bus surveys from the library. I have to pop into the community house and that to see if they've got any hard copies. And then I need to look at our online survey. And I will be over the weekend actually redoing up a poll for the first four questions of the bus survey, so get people re-engaging in that, and then put up another poll during next week for the next set of questions from our survey. We haven't had a great uplift for that, so really need to do that over the next couple of weeks. So watch this space, folks, particularly online.
So this is, folks, we're talking about the internal bus service that would run within Raglan Whangaroa.
For the next 2 years. So just co-creating that and getting it ready, the first phase of it ready, obviously, for this upcoming summer period. And then looking at, I'm just also waiting for Raglan Area School to get back to me with the survey on the buses that was sent out to whānau about what would a localised bus service look like for beginning of school and the after school times for the urban area.
Okay, so kids in town might be able to get the bus.
Yep, that's exactly right, which would hopefully alleviate some of the congestion up at school as well.
That would be handy.
That would be really handy. So so we're looking at all of those things, so that's exciting. And, of course, we've got our local alcohol policy hearings on Wednesday.
Are there submissions from here?
There are some submissions from here. The agenda was only released yesterday, so I only started briefly reading it this morning. So I'll go over that in the weekend. And, of course, on Thursday we've got our last council meeting for the triennium.
Okay.
And that looks like it's going to be a massive agenda.
Is everyone trying to ram through everything that they wanted to get done?
Well, all the loose ends.
Yeah, there's a better way of putting it.
Yeah, all the loose ends. And we will have a list on there of the shortlisted Better Off Fund applications will be in that agenda as well.
So were there applications from our area again, from Whangaroa?
There was. We probably had the most applications. There was 115 applications for the $7.6 million or whatever the amount was for the Better Off funding.
But I don't think it's all going to be going in this round, is it? Or is it?
We had $55 million worth of applications.
Oh, so people are going to be disappointed.
Yeah, so it added up to $55 million after the 115 applications.
Hopefully half of them are way out of the scope and you can just like put them aside and
That's why we've got the panel who we're shortlisting, who oversaw the process. So we, as councillors, we had nothing to do with the shortlisting.
Yep.
So that agenda hopefully will be out early next week. And so we'll be able to see who has been shortlisted and on the contingency list. And, of course, we may say, yes, that's great, but ultimately, at the end of the day, the decision is with the DIA, who are the funders for that.
Okay.
So all of the funds will be allocated.
So council kind of makes a recommendation to the government.
Because the panel will make the shortlist, so they've gone through all 115 applications and they'll shortlist from there. And they've got quite a specific criteria, so they've got a tuakana taina, so a bigger and older sibling, which are the big projects, and then the younger, the little projects that sit under there. So my understanding is I think about, I want to say 40 of the 115 applications came from Raglan. I could be wrong, but that seems to stick in my head. So that's going to be out. So we'll be deliberating on those on Thursday at our last meeting. And of course we had our last infrastructure meeting on Monday, and our last discretionary and funding just gone on Wednesday. So wrapping up the year, and you know, there'll be at least a 50% turnover in council for the new triennium.
It's going to be different. You'll be one of the old hands.
Yep.
You don't like me using the word You'll be one of the experienced hands.
Yeah.
That's what I should have said.
Yeah, so, yeah, and so if you haven't voted, you need to get out and vote and encourage people to exercise their democratic right. And I'm just about heading off to Extreme Zero Waste, actually. They've got Ngāti Kaufata going up to Extreme with some Waipa council staff for a corridor around the circular economy.
They get people from all the councils in the area. I know Otorohanga were there a few months ago.
And looking at the alternatives to incineration, because, you know, is considering, you know, in a big incineration proposal for that district, you know, waste, which
and
is
I saw something
going
came
backwards.
Something came through in my email yesterday that somewhere in the country there's an application gone in for
Waipa.
It is Waipa.
Yeah, it is Waipa. So looking at an incineration setup, which we know is inherently flawed because it's actually encouraging consumption of waste in order to feed that and our idea of energy, waste to energy, when we need to remove ourselves from waste and really cut back on that. So I'm going up.
Yeah, it encourages the use of waste, and it's also destroying resources, burning resources.
It's burning resources.
Like, this is the big thing that they've always said with Extreme, is that it's about making use of resources. And they've proven that because there used to be like one staff member running the dump in the old days, and now there's like 40 staff members.
And I think that we're still in that idea that, you know, waste should be cheap when we get rid of it, but actually it shouldn't be, because it's a luxury, you know. And that we need to really think about what our consumption is and how we go about doing what we do and what we're purchasing, because it comes at a cost to the planet
at the
end of life.
Yeah, in the budget. It's never in the budget, is it?
Yeah. And so, so I'm heading off to Extreme shortly to listen to the corridor there.
All right. Awesome. Folks, we've been talking to our councillor, Lisa Thompson.
Thanks, Aaron.
Is it
have
possibly
a fantastic
the last
weekend.
Chat? Voting closes on the 8th. If people haven't got their voting forms yet, it means it's probably not going to arrive. What should they do?
They should go down to the library, to a local council office, and put in a special vote. Get in there, because if you are actually on the electoral roll, your details will be held there, and if you're not, then you need to cast a special vote. But staff are really helpful. When I was in Ngāruru Wahia on Wednesday, I took in my voting forms along with my family's, because I'm on the Māori roll.
Right.
So,
so you can't vote for yourself?
No, I can't vote. None of my family can vote for me. They're all on the Māori roll. But that means that I can vote for one of the three great candidates for the Māori ward, which is awesome, and obviously the community board as well, and the mayor. So just encourage you to get voting, people.
Awesome. Thank you for coming in, Lisa.